Well, good morning. It's noticeable that I've got a cane. I have a back injury that it injured back whenever we first moved to Alaska. And about every 2 years, it decides to remind me that it's still there. I wish that I could say that I injured my back doing some great exploit this past week, saving a little baby from in front of a train, or maybe helping Charlotte do some great grandiose thing of reaching a dish up in the upper cabinet and was helping out my wife. But actually, I injured my back getting dressed on New Year's morning. And it just happened to happen. But don't feel sorry. I have found over the years that preaching with the cane is not a sign of weakness. It can really be a sign of strength. Because you can take that cane and you can point at somebody and say, "You better listen to me, young lady. Little whippersnapper." Amen. So this morning we'll probably preach sitting down, which is very hard for me to do. You that know me, that will sit under any teaching or anything, it's hard for me to sit down. Dr. Kogan's laughing over there. He knows how it is. Amen. Let me remind you that there was a lot of people that really worked hard over the holiday to help us celebrate the holiday. All the things that happened here, there was just a lot that went on, and there were some people that did yeoman's work, and I really appreciate all of those who helped us over the holiday. Amen? Oh, come on. Amen? Amen. Thank God for all of these that helped us. Praise the Lord. If the Lord continues to lead, by the way, sitting down is a rabbinical way of teaching. That's how the rabbis taught. You remember on the Sermon on the Mount, you read, and Jesus did what? He sat down and he taught them. That's rabbinical. So this morning, just consider me to be your rabbi. Alan, do you have a yarmulke that I could wear? So if the Lord continues to lead, next Sunday, we will begin a series of sermons on what I entitle The Core. And in this series, we will discuss the basics, the foundation of truths for our Christian life. You know, sometimes we just need to get back to the basics. Sometimes we just need to go back and do what got us here in the first place. Get back to the fundamentals. And that's what we'll do for several Sundays, beginning next Sunday, if the Lord continues to lead that direction. The core, the foundations for our Christian living. But today I want us to talk about what's so happy about the new year. Over the past day or so, everybody's been saying Happy New Year. It's on Facebook. If you've been on Facebook, somebody you've read has said Happy New Year. If you've been watching TV, especially the sports things that's been going on, the basketball, the football that's been happening, usually the commentator somewhere during that broadcast will say Happy New Year. You know, you've heard it over and over. How many has had somebody wish them a Happy New Year recently? How many has said Happy New Year recently, okay? Even in our personal conversations, as people meet and greet, we use that phraseology, Happy New Year. But is there any basis for this exclamation of Happy New Year? I mean, here's some recent headlines, okay? Stocks sputter, close out worst year since 2008. Record-setting floods. You've been reading about the floods, the tornadoes, and all the other things that's happening in the lower 48. Drop in oil prices. Here's one that really gets to us. Triggers historic tax hike plan in Alaska. We've all seen the headlines of terrorism, of war. I mean, even the Dallas Cowboys out of the playoffs. Hey, this is bad, okay? I mean, how bad can it get, you know? So where is the happiness factor in all of that? Is there really any reason to be happy about a new year that promises to be just as bad and traumatic, if not more so, than the old year? I mean, on a personal level, some of us are facing pain, disappointment, uncertainty, loss, and the list could go on and on and on. So what do we have to be happy about today? Well, obviously, to answer a question like that, we as Christians must turn to the one source of truth and understanding that puts everything in this world into perspective. What does God's Word, the Bible, say about this issue of humanity's desire to have a happy new year? Does the Bible lend credence to the prospect of a happy new year even being possible? Let's turn to God's Word and let's see what the Bible has to say about having a happy prospect for the future. Now, the word happy is found in Scripture. But it's interesting to note that the words translated happy in the Bible, those words are much more often translated blessed or blessed. And that's an interesting observation. For you see, the word happy in our modern understanding of the word carries the idea of an emotional feeling of enjoyment produced by pleasant circumstances. That's what we generally associate that word happy with. It's something that is pleasant. It's something that is conducive to feeling good or things going well. Thus, happiness is largely controlled in our modern understanding. Happiness is largely controlled by our surroundings and by our experiences. If our surroundings and experiences are enjoyable, we're happy. But if our surroundings and experiences are not enjoyable, we become unhappy. You see, happiness, if understood in this way, is somewhat like a thermometer. Good things makes one happy. Bad things makes one unhappy. I jokingly put the Dallas Cowboys out of playoffs up on the screen earlier, but this is really a great illustration of the point I'm making here. Several years ago, many years ago now, Charlotte and I pastored a church just south of Dallas. And in that church, we had some very die-hard Dallas Cowboy fans. And whenever the Cowboys would play a late game, on Sunday, starting at 3 o'clock. I didn't have time to watch that game, nor could I watch it because of my schedule with church service that night. So I didn't have time to watch it, but I didn't have to watch the game to know who won. All I had to do was sit on the platform and watch the people as they came into the night service, especially those who were those diehard fans. Usually they'd come in a little bit late because the game would go beyond our service time start. They'd come in a little bit late. And if they came in with a smile on their face and they got into worship and praising the Lord, immediately I knew those Cowboys had won. But if they came in with a scowl on their face and they sat down on the pew like they were attending the funeral of their best friend, I knew them boys had gotten a good licking. Just by the way, people came into the service. That thermometer happy if things are good, unhappy if things didn't go so well. But you see, thankfully, the biblical concept of being blessed or blessed has little to do with the fickle circumstances of life. Now, can I just tell you this morning, 2016 will be filled with good and bad circumstances. Life and death will happen this year. Pain and pleasure will happen this year. Poverty and wealth will happen this year. And if you and I base our lives on these ever-changing barometers of life, these circumstances, happiness will be elusive at best. So instead of saying Happy New Year, maybe we ought to concentrate on the aspect of having a blessed new year. Because residing under God's pavilion of blessing is much more stable and much more possible. So what does God's word say about being blessed or blessed? Well, first of all, that word blessed, blessed, occurs somewhere between 200 and 300 times in the Bible, depending upon the translation that you choose to read from. That's a lot of times. So it seems that God's word declares an abundance of blessing for those who follow Him. Amen. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel. And by the way, that word man is a generic term. It's not a gender inclusive term. It's a generic term. Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. That's the promise of living under the blessing of the Lord, the blessed of God. Psalms 1:6 says, what makes this possible is, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. You see, beloved, if we qualify under the first part of that psalm, if we shun wicked counsel, if we refuse to stand around and partake of sinful things, and if we sit and commune with righteous people instead of those who mock God, then we can claim the last part of that passage: the Lord will watch over our way during 2016. Amen? Amen. You see, no matter where our paths lead, no matter what crosses our path, no matter what circumstances come, whether good or bad, in 2016, God is watching over our way, and we will always remain the apple of His eye. So I declare, blessed New Year to each of us today. Amen? Amen. You see, being blessed by the Lord does not mean we will not face adverse circumstances. But even when the bad things come, we can take refuge in the Lord. Psalm 2:12, blessed are all who take refuge in Him. Did you hear that? Blessed are some? No. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him. You're blessed today. Amen. Now, this idea of being blessed and taking refuge in the Lord does not dictate that we go through life with a stoic attitude. Some people say, all right, I accept that. I know it's going to be good and bad, so I'll just buck up and put a grimace on my face, and I will endure it. I'll be stoic about it. Being blessed does not mean we have to take that attitude. It doesn't dictate that we go through life just with an attitude of enduring pain and hardship without showing pain or discomfort on our face. Listen to how Psalm 5 begins. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. Here's a man who understood pain, who understood discomfort. And 2016 will offer occasions for us to do some groaning and some crying. But when those occasions come, we have a refuge. Notice what the psalmist now says down in verses 11 and 12. But let all who take refuge in you do what? Rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exalt you, for you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as a shield. This morning, it is the Lord's favor that forms a pavilion of God's refuge over us. And it is our trust, our belief, that God does indeed favor us, that enables you and me to face 2016 with confidence. Where we put our trust in this year ahead will determine our ability to have a blessed new year. Psalms 40. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Psalm 20 and 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses and some in Washington. Well, it doesn't say that in there, but that's what the psalmist is helping us understand. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We don't trust anybody. We don't trust any government. We don't trust any circumstance. We trust in the Lord today. Amen? Amen. So let's face 2016 putting our trust squarely and solidly in the name of the Lord our God, because according to Scripture, God's name is our refuge. Proverbs 18 and 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Hallelujah. And then Psalm 61 describes this refuge that we run to in the time of trouble. Psalm 61, hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. That's what I pray for everyone who is here today or who is listening to us by internet. When our hearts are overwhelmed, when our situation becomes hopeless, when adversity strikes, even whenever your back goes out, we will pray to the Lord, we will allow the Lord to lead us, and we will allow the Lord to be our rock, and we will take shelter in Him during the time of storm. And can I just remind you this morning, the rock's name is Jesus. He is our refuge. He is the one who assures that we will have a blessed new year. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Here is our assurance for a blessed new year. Romans chapter 8. And we know that in all things, not in some, not in the good, not in the pleasant, all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. You see the progression? We're living under grace today. We're living under the provision of God today, and we are blessed in the Lord. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, If God is for us, is God for us? Amen. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? What do you need today? It's available in Jesus. What do you need today? It's available in Jesus. All things. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. You say, nobody's praying for me. Yes, there is. Jesus ever intercedes for you before the throne of God. Then who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But then notice what he says. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then Paul says, for I am convinced, and this is where I want us to be today. I want us to be convinced beyond any doubt. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you ought to shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's our confidence for 2016. I don't know if you and I will always be happy, but we will always live under God's blessings in Jesus. And nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from that blessing. That's our confidence for this new year. And you know, the reason that this is true, the reason that Paul could state this so forcibly, and the reason why I believe it so sincerely, is because our sins are forgiven. Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Blessed is the person whose sins are forgiven. And this table is God's guarantee that our transgressions are forgiven, that our sins are covered. This table represents our assurance of a blessed new year. You see, no matter what happens in 2016, our sins are covered. Amen? No matter what comes against us in the years ahead, our transgressions are forgiven. We are blessed today, and we are blessed every day, because the Lord does not count our sins against us. Today, if you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, then I must be honest, I cannot guarantee you a blessed new year. You're on your own. If you don't know Jesus, you're on your own. But if you know Jesus as Savior and Lord, then you are living under God's pavilion of grace, and a blessed New Year's belongs to you today. If you're in this auditorium this morning, or if you're listening by way of internet, and you've not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, then I invite you to do so right now. Matter of fact, if you would just bow your hearts wherever you are and just pray along with me as I pray this prayer. If you don't know Jesus, just pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner, but I repent of my sin and I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe He died for me on the cross, and that You raised Him from the dead, and He is alive forevermore. I repent, I accept Jesus, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. You're saved. And now you live under God's marvelous pavilion of grace, His mercy and His love and His blessing. You can now have a blessed new year. Amen? Amen. For those watching by internet now, Pastor is going to join you and pray with you and give you opportunity to call in and have further prayer and counsel. But here in the auditorium, Paul, if you would come. Barbara, would you come, please? Gentlemen, if you'd ready yourselves. We're going to celebrate Holy Communion, which represents the fact that a blessed new year is possible. God bless you as you begin to move among the people. We do not celebrate closed communion. We have open communion. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you don't have to be a member of this church, just a member of the body of Christ, to partake with us. Worship as Paul leads us and as these gentlemen distribute the elements. After everybody's been served, we will partake together. Amen. Paul.